have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, so just hold on to the phone, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir. Could you please state your full name, your ABC number for us for the record?
I couldn't understand what he was saying.
Okay. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, vaguely.
Okay, is that any better?
No, that's better.
Okay. Could you please state your full name and your ABC number for us for the record?
Yes, sir. I'm Stephen Scott Barnes, 108816.
Okay, Mr. Barnes. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce the board members conducting the hearing this morning, okay?
Yes, sir.
You have the Honorable Luis Gonzalez, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is on board here. My name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'm going to be your hearing lead this morning.
Okay.
So you are currently appearing before this board for a home arrest, absolute discharge, or regular parole. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
Are you currently serving a 10-year sentence for attempt sexual conduct with a minor? Your sentence began on April 1st of 2013, and you became parole eligible on April 1st of 2018. You have a sentence end date April 1st of 2023. Is that right, sir?
I believe that's correct.
Okay. So according to your AIMS report that we have here with us, you are 55 years old now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and like I said, you're serving a 10-year sentence for attempt sexual conduct with a minor. You have previously served a 5-year term, which is expired, for sexual conduct or attempted sexual conduct with a minor. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, it looks like since you've been incarcerated, so obviously that you've received one citation the entire time that you've been incarcerated, and that was for a loss or destruction. That was back in 1996, and that was actually dismissed. Is that right?
I believe so.
So you managed to keep yourself out of trouble and not get any citations since you've been incarcerated?
I'm having a hard time understanding you, sir. Could you repeat that last bit?
Sure, just one moment. So since you've been incarcerated, I see that you received only one citation or one ticket, and that ticket was dismissed. Is that right?
Oh, yes, back in 1995 or 6, I believe.
1996.
Yeah, that was, yes, sir.
Okay, and you were before this board back in July of 96 for parole, absolute discharge, a regular parole, home arrest, and it was denied. You came again in 97. And then we were here in 2018 before this board. Is that right?
That is correct.
And you have taken the sex offender classes since you've been incarcerated. Is that a correct statement?
Yes, I've participated in sex offender classes. Yes, I have.
Okay, so has that been helpful to you, sir?
Yes, it has. I've also participated when I was out on and. When I was released last time, but I felt a lot better with it this time. I also took the advanced class of victim clarification on top of the required class.
Okay, so originally you did a plea agreement where you pled to count one, attempt sexual conduct with a minor. And that's where you got your 5-year sentence?
Yes.
And then you also had count two was attempted sexual conduct with a minor, and that was to a intense lifetime probation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you completed the 5-year sentence, and then you got out and you were placed on lifetime probation. And after lifetime probation, sir, what happened to cause you to have your lifetime probation violated, sir?
Well, it was my stupid decision of absconding and leaving to Mexico, and it was because You know, and it's not a good excuse, but I had a girlfriend that was going to be my fiance, and they were making it so difficult for us to be together and wanted her to take classes. And when she decided she didn't want to be with me anymore because of that, it broke my heart, and I just made a very poor decision of absconding, and I regret it. You know, that's been almost 20 years ago, and I regret it deeply.
And so how did you wind up getting arrested after you absconded, sir?
Well, I was deported back to the United States. And to tell you the truth, I was going to come back anyway. My money had ran out, and I was struggling very hard down there. I had some inheritance given to me by my grandmother, and I just blew it on stupid things and ended up having to sell everything to survive. And I was just at the end of my ropes when I got deported back from the Mexican government.
So how long were you in Mexico before you got deported back, sir?
Oh, about 12 and a half years.
And what happened when you came in contact with the authority in Mexico to wind up being deported, sir?
What happened with it? They just put me on a plane to the United States, and at the Phoenix airport, the government was waiting for me there.
So how did you come in contact with the law enforcement in Mexico?
I was spending a lot of time, this is kind of funny, I was spending a lot of time on the beach with my dogs. I have three big dogs, and they weren't on leashes, and I got in an argument with some other people down there, and the law got involved in it, and I believe they found out that I was absconded probationer. It is my thought, but anyway, they reported me to the government there, and it all fell apart from that. And like I say, I wasn't far from coming back on my own. I was at the end of my rope there.
So this original incident that you were originally charged with back in the 90s, where you got a 5-year prison sentence. That involved an incident with you and your wife and a 13-year-old kid that the three of you were all engaged in some type of sexual activity?
Yes, sir. So, yeah, she was, my co-defendant was my girlfriend, not my wife.
Okay, was that the girlfriend that you broke up with?
Yeah, Tiffany Spring Roberts.
Mm-hmm. So it was an incident where there was a 13-year-old kid and he had sex with your girlfriend along with yourself?
Well, he didn't have sex with me. He had sex with her, and at one point when we were at my apartment, they were having sex and I had oral sex with both of them.
Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Barnes, if you were placed on home arrest, or how would you abide by that, sir, when you already absconded for over 10 years to Mexico? Why would this board think that you would adhere to your probation?
Well, sir, I have grown a whole lot since then, and I'm going to be 56 in June, and I have a very good opportunity with my Uncle Yule Barnes, and he's hopefully his letter's in front of you, that has our family farm in Queen Creek. He is 81 years old this month and has diabetes and not doing good at all, and he needs someone to run the farm for him. And so I have this real good opportunity to go out and take over the family farm. And like I say, my uncle's in his late years, and he's real ill. And I've grown a whole lot. I made the serious choice of having this crime come about in 1993. I was sentenced in 94. You know, that's 26 something years ago, and I was on drugs then. I'm not on drugs anymore, and I would do whatever it takes to to earn the trust of the authorities, and you know, where I will be working at is right where I'll be living at is on the farm. I already have a trailer house there, and I, you know, I won't even have to drive anywhere. I'll walk to work, and I would be fine with just not even leaving the farm until my earned release date comes up, or whenever they seem fit for me to be off a monitor. So, you know, I've wasted all my life. You know, I mean, I have lost the opportunity to be married and have children. I'm 56 years old, coming up in June, and I would like a chance at life again. I really would. And I know it's another year here in prison if you guys don't decide to let me go today or whenever the date would come up. But I would certainly be grateful for the opportunity to earn the trust once again of the government and my family. You know, my family is full support with me. My brother is Stan Barnes. He's a political lobbyist, and he works closely with the governor and many of our congressmen. He's also got a letter of support from me there, and he believes in me. He wouldn't have put his good name out there if he didn't believe that I was going to do something right. My brother's been an upstanding man, as well as all my family members. And I would just be so grateful for the opportunity to go out and regain somewhat of my life I have left, and be able to be with my uncle to start learning about the what it's going to take to run the farm when he's gone, and I just leave it in the hands of you guys to make that decision. I know it's a tough decision. I watch the news, and the crimes that go across that screen are appalling. And I'm saddened to say that I'm a registered sex offender, and I would like to try to piece my life back together if I could. And I will do whatever it takes to appease the who's ever in charge of me, from taking drug tests or going to counseling or whatever they would want me to do. I would be more than willing to do it.
Okay, so let me see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Pimentel,
really quickly. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Barnes, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
I guess it's more commentary. A concern of mine is that with you absconding to a foreign country for so long, and I'm not making an accusation, there's nothing I can prove, but we have no way of knowing your behavior while you were missing for all that time in a foreign country. So, did you abstain from any, we'll say, illegal sexual activity while you were down there?
Yes, I did. I most certainly did.
It's a fair question, and I'm certainly being dogged in asking that, but I think it should be asked. And I appreciate your Cameron, thank you.
Mr. Neal.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. The question I have is, and you know, you were given a pretty lenient sentence to begin with. And so you served the lenient sentence in prison, and when you got out, you were scouted to Mexico. And stayed there until you ran out of money, but finally, coincidentally, you ran out of money. And we're thinking about coming back, but at the same time, got in trouble with the Mexican authorities. But the point is, you absconded to a foreign country for about 12 and a half years, something like that. Came back up here, they said, oops, we're going to revoke your probation. And now you're in jail. Okay, now. You say that your family is supporting you and they trust you, and your, I don't know which relative it was, but the one that's obvious, all of you. But weren't they there for you when, at the time you were scoundrel? Did nobody trust you or put their faith in you, or trust you that, you know, say, okay, you know, we'll be out here and we'll support it. We didn't. Didn't they do that when we got out the first time?
Yes, they certainly did, and I went through.
Here's the point about that. Okay, you say yes, they did. Now, that was one of your major reasons for trying to convince the board to trust you now, is that your family was behind you in supporting. They were there then, and you went to Mexico. So, I find it hard to have any faith in the words that you won't get again.
Well, when I absconded, before I absconded, I went through intense probation and I went through years of counseling, and it came up to where they weren't going to allow me to be married. And they weren't going to allow me to be married, but the stipulations were so deep on my girlfriend that she couldn't take it. And it wasn't that my family lost trust in me at that time, but they didn't support me in what I was doing. Matter of fact, they didn't even know about it. But like I say, that was 20 years ago. I've served 6 years now for this mistake. I've served 3.5 last time. And I'd like to say this is something that should be known to you guys, but the detective in my case was married to my girlfriend and was having an affair with her at my house. Now, he got me tricked into signing a plea bargain that I was hooked onto with Tiffany Roberts. I was only involved in one sexual encounter, but he's got me on two. And I was told and manipulated in signing that plea bargain by back then in Pinal County with this detective. And he was in cahoots with my lawyer. There was a public defender, and he had me believe that that's the best plea bargain I was going to get, when I should have held out because I shouldn't have had two charges placed on me. And we're talking, this detective was at my house having an affair with my girlfriend, which she later married after I was in prison. Now, when this was brought before the courts this time, they gave me 15 years, not 10 years. And I hired a lawyer and brought this before the courts that this detective was involved with my girlfriend and the closeness of the case that, anyway, the courts lowered me to a 10-year sentence because of that. But that is not a fairy tale. That is a 100% truth. And that doesn't diminish for the crime that I did commit, but I didn't commit as many crimes as it's made out for me to be. Now, that happened one time in my life. One time. Now, my family has trust in me now. They had trust in me then. The reason why they lost their trust on me then is because I absconded. But they have since, they come visit me. They know me. I got an opportunity to go take over my uncle's farm. He's like I say, a diabetic, not far from his departure from this earth. And you know, I either got to wait another year and go do this, or you guys are going to let me have an opportunity to do it now. You know, I don't want to sit and beg about it. These are the facts, and they're going to lay where they are. So that's all I got to say on that.
Mr. Canales.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Just a quick follow-up question. Mr. Barnes?
Yes, sir.
Just for clarity, you had a previous period of probation that was revoked in Pinal County, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Was that lifetime?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so you still have a pending lifetime probation in Maricopa County?
Yes, I do, for failure to register.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear on that. Thank you, Mr. Barnes.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Mr. Barnes?
Yes, sir.
When you were in Mexico, what did you do when you were in Mexico all that time?
Well, you know, my first, let's say, 9 years, I was struggling very hard. I worked at a sugar mill in Jalisco for a while, and I had a welder that in the back of my truck, I weld and fabricate steel, and I did side jobs, and at one point I was living in my truck. So, I mean, at the end there, my grandmother sold, we have two farms in Queen Creek. My grandmother had sold her farm and gave us kids gift money. Now, she didn't give us all the money from the inheritance, but she she gave us $60,000 a year until she died, and that's the money that I squandered away. I bought some jet skis and a fishing boat and moved to the Baja and had a pretty good time for the last 4 years I was there. But for the first 9 years I was struggling. I I made a very hard living. It's very hard when a gringo moves down there and tries to do a job that the locals are doing. You gotta really be careful because they'll steal all your stuff and it was very tough on me the first few years.
Okay.
Mr. Barnes, just a quick follow-up. Mr. Barnes, I'm sorry, this is just curiosity now, and thank you again for being so honest with the board. Were you fluent in Spanish when you moved to Mexico?
Oh, yeah, I can speak very good Spanish. I grew up on a farm out in Queen Creek, and I can speak enough to get by, and I speak a lot better now that I spent that time there.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that you're probably fluent now, but I wasn't sure if that was a skill you had before you left.
Well, I'm not really fluent, you know, and since I've been in prison 6 years and I don't use it as often as I do, unless the subject's a subject that I'm familiar with, I can't watch TV and translate what's going on, but I can ask, I can get by.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Rod.
Thank you. Mr. Brown, I'm just trying to understand. I may not understand, but at least I think I heard what you said. You went to Mexico because of a situation involving your fiancé. Why did you leave this country, sir? Why didn't you stay in this country and try to get your life together? You, as you stated, I'm not, well, you didn't state this, I'm making some assumptions because of your family connections. You had family ties that truly made a difference. Your family had those couple of farms down there. And why would you even have thought about leaving this country? Why didn't you stay in this country and get your life together, sir?
Yeah, I asked myself that too, and in retrospect, looking back, I wish I could go back and tell myself what a bad decision that was. I have a hard time answering that. I should not have left. I should have stuck it out. I was just so depressed about my life and the stranglehold from probation that was not allowing me to have a fiance without her going to classes and stuff, and we, she was wanting to have a family, and they were telling me that I couldn't have kids without her being in class, and I just was very, very depressed. My dad had recently been in an accident and was vegetabilized and lived in an incapacitated place in Oxnard, California, and they weren't letting me go to see him. I just made a poor decision. I was very upset at the whole probation thing. And so I thought, it was a bad decision, but I thought where I can go where I don't have to worry about this would be Mexico. And little did I know, it was much harder trying to survive down there than I would have manning up and doing the right thing and staying here. And
let me just ask this, sir. Convince me as a board member and maybe any other board member who might want to be convinced why this board should even consider releasing you at this time, inasmuch as you left the country for I think some 12 years and of course you've been back now for a while and you haven't had any major tickets. But convince me, other than your uncle who has this health challenge, but other than that, why should this board even think about releasing you at this time? So how could you convince me that I ought to, let's not get into the health situation with your uncle, but otherwise, why should I even consider that?
Well, sir, the fact that I have destroyed the most part of my life from poor choices, and I have now got in a position where I can make some new choices and try to gather up what I have left in my life and live a productive life as a citizen of the United States. I would think that the opportunity to be placed, I only have a year left in prison. I would think it would be a good thing for the board, or for the board, I guess, would be the right position to be able to have ankle monitor me and be able to closely monitor me, because when I get out in a year, that won't be that. And I can be closely monitored. I will live in one place, the same place I work at. And, you know, I would just hope for the compassion of the board members that can see a man that has totally been broken from his past mistakes in life, and would just beg for the opportunity to have a chance to restart his life and be closely monitored to assure that the probation's needs are met. Because, you know, it'll be house arrest, and I'll be able to show them that that's what I'm going to do.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
All right. Mr. Barnes, seeing no other questions coming from the board, so we're coming up on the conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir?
Just thank you for your guys' time. I know your decision is a tough one to make, and I appreciate it. Whichever direction this goes, I will still go forward with my plans in life, and I appreciate your guys' this opportunity to speak my piece.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board's now going into discussion, Mr. Barnes. I'm going to ask you to stay on the line. However, I need you to remain silent while the board's in discussion. But
yes,
you're able to hear the conversation taking place amongst the board, okay? And we'll get back with you when the board makes a decision.
Yes.
Okay. The board's now going into discussion. This is definitely an interesting case that I do think that Mr. Barnes received kind of a lenient sentence. He was sentenced to 5 years. He did do his 5 years, and he had lifetime intense probation that he had to do after that. He said that he wound up having breaking up with his girlfriend and having some problems there, and decided to go flee to Mexico, where he stayed in Mexico for 12 years before he says he had a confrontation on the beach with his dog and some other people there. Police were called, and subsequently he was arrested, brought back to Mexico. He's been incarcerated for 6 years. He's been on drug for the time he's been incarcerated, as well as he's only received one citation that was dismissed. So it's like he's not received any tickets since he's been incarcerated. He says that he do have a release plan. I do want to acknowledge that there are some letters in here from his family that are giving some support. I do think Mr. Barnes has been honest with us in his conversations that we've actually had here with him today. He was put on home arrest. It would give him the opportunity to be on a monitor, and I think that Mr. Barnes probably would do well if he was just put on a monitor, as opposed to waiting another year and being able to be released. He has a release plan to go stay with his family, stay on a farm, and says he stayed there. He says that he realizes that he made a mistake and messed up by not by going to Mexico and not staying here and face his problem. I want to also make a note that his sentence that he was sentenced to, he did complete that sentence, and it was the lifetime probation that he violated, which caused him to be actually involved not in another actual crime or crime that was actually committed. I, at this point, would be willing to let Mr. Barnes be on home arrest. However, I would consider that, but I'd be willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Mr. Dr. Ryan.
Well, Mr. Johnson, I just want to say this just for the record. Now, I, as one board member, I do agree with you. However, I want to put on the record, I do know who his brother is, but I do not know his brother personally. I've had no contact with him at all, and I feel that as chairman of this board, I need to say that on record because of his brother's involvement in so many community and political activities in the state of Arizona. But I would agree with you, sir.
Mr. Dillon?
You don't have anything to add.
Okay. Mr. Canales?
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'm willing to look at this at a very practical level, and that is he is getting pretty close to 1 year before he's done, or at least eligible for his early release, and that supervised release might help his transition. But I recognize he doesn't have a very long time left inside the Department of Corrections, inside anyways. So I'd be supportive of your decision.
Okay. Therefore, I'm going to move to grant Mr. Barnes home arrest and deny him regular parole or absolute discharge at this time. That was my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, second Mr. Quinones. Agree, Mr. Neal. Agree, Dr. Wright. Type of release granted is going to be home arrest. Type denied would be regular parole or absolute discharge. Conditions of release is that he would have to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. All sex offender conditions apply. No alcohol use. Random tests for drugs and alcohol. No contact with the victim family. I don't believe there's any restitution, but I'm going to mark the case that is. Must pay restitution. Abide by institutional rules. Partake in any available programming as directed. I do need to pay $65 supervision fees after 60 days. And I believe that he did have an address that he wanted to be released to, although we don't have any authority over that. I need to just look up that he wanted to go stay on the farm with his grandfather. There was a letter in here, but I didn't write the address. His uncle.
I think it was his uncle.
So, Mr. Barnes, you had the address of the your uncle's farm where you wanted to be released to?
Yes, I do. I don't have it with me. I gave it to my counselor. She's supposed to have sent it with you guys.
Okay, hold on. Services, P.O. Box 489 in Coon Creek, Arizona?
Yes, on Ellsworth Road.
It doesn't, what I'm looking at here, it just has a custom farm services, but it has a P.O. Box.
Well, that is the name of the company.
I'm trying this.
And I think
it's on Ellsworth Road in Queen Creek, and I could give you a phone number. I have the address in my cubicle in my building, but I don't have it with me. My counselor took that about 2 weeks ago and was supposed to attach that to my paperwork onto you guys, I thought.
Just going to put custom form services, Coon Creek, Arizona, and make it follow through with that information. Okay, Mr. Barnes?
Yes, sir.
Sir, the board is ready to grant you home arrest. Let me inform you about home arrest. So home arrest is just like you're still incarcerated. You do have to come up with a weekly schedule. You have to adhere to the schedule that you come up with. You are just like still being incarcerated, except that you're at home. Or
that's
you're
right.
At a different location.
Yes, sir.
So that, and when you have a weekly itinerary, if your itinerary says that you're going to point A to point B to look for a job, then when you go to point A to point B, you cannot stop in between, you cannot go visit anybody, you cannot do anything. You have to adhere to strictly what's on your weekly plan. Do you
understand? Yes, I'm very familiar with it.
Huh?
I was on intense probation before and had to run a schedule, but with this, luckily with this, I will be at the, my residence will be at my place where I work also.
Okay. Well, sir, the intense home arrest is much more stricter than the intense probation, sir.
Okay. Well, I will adhere to whatever I am told.
Okay. All right, sir. Let me see if the board has any additional things they'd like to add to it or anything to say. All right, Mr. Barnes?
Yes, sir.
Sir, that is going to conclude your hearing at this time. The board did vote to grant you home arrest. Does not mean that you're going to be immediately released. There is a process that you have to go through and work with your PO. I cannot stress enough of the importance that it will be, sir, especially with taking that risk because you have been on parole before and you intense probation and you absconded and went out of the country. So we hope that you would not embarrass this board or anyone else involved with this. So the board has voted to grant you home arrest, and that's going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir.
I will make you guys proud. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All